Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time check for you. It's 25 past four. I'm Simon Anstey, and thank you for listening to The Overdrive. It's time to chat to Professor Barry Shoub, the former executive director of the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, and to continue the discussion that we were having yesterday. Professor Shoub, good afternoon to you, and thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thanks for having me.
So, yeah, Prof, yesterday we were chatting about ivermectin, clearly a massive, controversial subject. And, I think we just need to address the issue a little more this afternoon.
Yeah. You know, there has, as we mentioned yesterday, there have been very, very strong lobbying groups, very vocal lobbying groups, both here and, of course, internationally. And, in fact, you know, groups like AfriForum are taking SAHPRA, which is the regulatory authority of the country, which regulates the licensing of drugs and vaccines, taking them to court, as well as the minister. If you recall in the first wave, we had chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. The second wave is characterized by ivermectin. And the way you can really understand that the clinicians are dealing with these very ill patients, desperately ill patients, and we don't really have very good drugs, you know, shall I say purpose drugs, which can directly cure the infection. Now, we do have steroids like dextromethazone, anticoagulants, and, of course, oxygen, the mainstay of treatment. But there's no direct miracle drug, which is going to kind of cure. And, of course, they everyone is casting the net out to repurpose drugs used for other reasons. So, as I say, in the first wave, it was chloroquine, which is used for malaria. Now it's dextromethazone, which is used actually for treating worms like river blindness. We don't get it in this country. That's in Central Africa, tropical Africa. Ivermectin actually is a veterinary product. It's registered by the Veterinary Council and not registered for human use. So at the moment, using it or prescribing it is actually a criminal offense. So really, I suppose, you know, the big criticism is why cannot SAHPRA recognize it? Look, we don't have anything else. Let's try this out. Yes. And I think the problem is this, that SAHPRA is there really to guard the public against fake drugs, against potentially harmless drugs, against quackery, against misleading the public with drugs. And they're there as a regulatory body. They just need to see evidence, good, verifiable, solid evidence, scientifically sound evidence that a potential drug is effective and is safe. And once they've got that, they will certainly license it. And this is really what they're waiting for with ivermectin. There have been trials up to now of this drug, clinical trials, but they've used very small doses, or they've mixed them up with other drugs, so you can't tell which one is actually working. Or they've used varying doses or small numbers of participants. So it's very difficult to actually establish, is it actually working or not? And until they can do a proper trial, and they've actually reached out to various people. And in fact, I've just heard that the University of Free State have agreed to undertake an ivermectin, a proper controlled trial. And certainly if there is evidence that it does work and it is safe, I'm sure it will be registered. But until then, they really have to guard the public safety and withhold license until they can have that evidence.
I hear you loud and clear, Prof, and I understand how somebody with your kind of medical training comes from a perspective like that. Not being a medical person, I can understand the desperation with which people are feeling helpless or saying, this is a pandemic situation. What about the argument about necessity? And if the effects of the drug are not going to be like thalidomide or kill me, then let me have a go. What's the harm? What would you say to that approach?
Yeah, you know, that's an argument which is being used, but they really have to protect the public from, well, first of all, false claims of so-called cures or miracle drugs, ineffective drugs, unsafe drugs, quackery. We don't know if it's completely safe. It hasn't been shown to be completely safe. They say, yeah, you know, it may well be that they've used it in this patient, that patient, this patient, and nothing's really happened. But we don't really know that. And, you know, if there's no body, there's no supervisory body or regulatory body to license these things, you know, if it's open house, who knows what kind of, you know, deception would occur in the public. You know, who knows what kind of false drugs would be leashed on the public. And I think there's a big danger in that because, you know, there are, for many of these conditions, there are drugs which are effective. And if these other drugs get licensed which are not effective, you can imagine what effect that would have in treating patients.
Prof, we ran over time, but we did so because it was a really interesting and very important discussion. Thank you for your input as always, and I look forward to chatting to you tomorrow.
Okay, sure. Thanks, Simon.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.